Dear Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
It's time to talk about MSU Denver Online. MSU Denver Online puts a dynamic education at your fingertips without forcing you to decide between earning a degree and living your life. MSU Denver is the Colorado institution providing rigorous and affordable online programs taught by professors who bring the real world into the classroom. MSU Denver graduates use their relevant degrees to land coveted jobs, and some of our very own staff members at DNVR are taking MSU online classes this summer. Allie Monroy and Harrison Wind, you can reach out to either of them with preliminary questions if you have them. One of MSU's mantras, MSU Denver Online, is learn to lead the change. MSU Denver Services at Denver is a steward of the community. They believe in value without compromise. And look, if you're thinking about taking a gap year, or your plans change or whatever, their mission never does. Use your gap year to maximize your skills. Take advantage of MSU Denver Online. Super engaged teachers that are extremely responsive to emails, questions, and concerns. The course content is highly relevant. And of course, right now, it's as convenient as ever. We're all living at home. You can learn from home right now. You do not have to choose. MSU Denver Online. Check it out. Go Roadrunners.
Welcome back. We always could spot a friend.
Coming back to your old team in the city I love so well. I mean, it was a great feeling for me.
Get him on camera. You train him for the Nuggets.
I'm back home, you know. I feel as comfortable as I ever felt before in my life.
Deep cut there.
I had to do a McDice. I wanted to do a McDice video, and that was like the only video of McDice on YouTube. I was like,
wait a minute. Didn't he explicitly like reject coming back to Denver the last time that he was traded back in?
I think it was, maybe Dempsey could clear this up. I think it was after that. It was an even uglier split.
Yeah. Okay.
Wait, you got to wait for me to introduce our guest. But let's introduce the show first. What up? What's happening? It's 8:00. It's Thursday night, and it's time for the DNBA show at DNVR. I'm your host tonight, Brendan Vogt. No Harrison Wynn, but I got two-thirds of the usual suspects. Above me to my left, right, my right, it's Eric Wiedem, D-Line Co.
What's up, guys? Yeah, I miss Harrison, I gotta be honest. I don't feel I feel like we're gonna be like a little less than. I don't know how else to put it.
Most of my fuel for this fire is just bullying him while he does
that. I know. I don't feel good about this at all.
Next to Eric, with us every time, it's Adam Maras. Adam, what's up, man?
Almost every time. Is my hair looking good enough to make up for Harrison not being here?
Yes. No. No, it's not.
No, not at all.
Did you hop on the Peloton today? We're contractually obligated to mention that. We're not alone, though. It will be four of us tonight. Let's welcome in now a very, very special guest, our good friend and reporter slash analyst slash on-air talent, jack of all trades for Altitude Sports. It's Chris Dempsey.
Yeah.
What's up, everybody?
Chris, hey. What's up, man?
Yeah, the crowd goes wild.
There's no way that I could take Harrison's spot here, but I will do my level best to try to hold up my end of the bargain.
Yeah. On this show. I'm a little offended you even suggested that that was a possibility, frankly.
I know. Right away, it was kind of like, you guys are nice, but Harrison's better, and I don't know if I'm freaking
cool. I mean, that's
Harrison,
baby.
We're just happy to have you here, man. I thought I might never see you again, Chris. I'll keep it 100. I mean,
it's starting to look that way. And without technology, you might never see me
again. I know. It's rough.
It is sad.
Technology is living its best life, for sure.
Oh, my gosh.
So how are you holding up? I know you're busy, you're working, but also a family man. What has quarantine done to you and your mental so far?
You know what? I've held up really well, actually, because, I think for me, it's been great to be around my son. You don't know how much you're gone until you're home all the time. And you're like, wow, I'm actually really never here. So that's been great. And then outside of that, Altitude's been doing a sports social.
Sure, yep.
Yeah.
11 to 1 each day, which actually just wrapped up today. Today was right. The last day of that. Tomorrow will be a best of, and then we'll move on to other things. So that's kept me busy. A lot of home workouts.
I think you've been working out more than I have at home. I can't guarantee it, but I have a sneaking suspicion.
Yeah, it's crazy how much you work out at home, right, guys? It's so
such a grind. You're doing my job for me, though. I'm glad you brought up sports social, because I did want to ask you, since it's coming to its end or close to it, what were some of your favorite moments? What were some of the favorite interviews that you got to do? And I know it's not all interviews, but just...
Yeah.
Was there anything cool that came from doing television a little bit differently?
Yeah, I think there was a lot. You know, I think the first thing was we learned was that it's so much easier to get guests on a show like that. It's so much easier.
Even we can do it.
Yeah, as testament to the fact that you are here right now.
Well, I got to sit down on a couch and, you know, and so that was good. I think that's a platform that we're going to continue to use at Altitude. There's no doubt about that. In some fashion as we go forward, you know, when things get back to normal, whenever that is. One of my favorites was Rate Liff and Michael Malone.
Yeah.
In the same space. That was a really, really fun conversation with those two. And, you know, to see another side of Michael Malone was really good. For me personally, we don't really interact a ton with the Avs talent. Rapids talent, and so to be able to do that was so much fun. Yeah, I had no idea how funny these guys were.
Right.
So it was just each day it was a lot of fun. So I you know, one, it kept us busy and it kept us from being furloughed.
That's number one, two and three maybe.
Right, yeah, two and three. But it was just a great platform. I think we'll continue to use.
It's interesting. I mean, you're coming from a traditional television background. For us, I think when we go on to the internet, we can sort of lean into our, I guess, different approach, different foundation. Was it a challenge for you at all? It almost feels like to me, the harder you try to do television on the internet, the harder it becomes. And so you have to try to find some sweet spot. Was it challenging for you guys at all?
Well, for me, it was just, it wasn't that much different. You know, it reminded me of a radio show. So, years ago, I used to host a radio show on 104.3 The Fan. And so this reminded me a lot of that. It's just that my face was on a camera as well. but behind the scenes, it was very different. And all of the moving parts and all the producers and everybody that had to put that together, it was, especially in the beginning, a real challenge and a lot of trial and error. And you know, by the time we started to get smooth and get it right, and we're done.
Exactly.
It's different for us, you know. I think what I've learned is traditional television people, and obviously I come from a writing background,
right?
But traditional television people, it's very difficult to, you know, for them to wrap their minds around everything not looking perfect, not sound, you know. But yet that's the world we live in. We live in FaceTime world. We live in Skype and Zoom and everything else. And nothing looks perfect anymore.
Precisely.
And it's okay. And so to get them from a space where, oh my gosh, this isn't the perfect thing, to, okay, just relax and breathe. The show got out. It was fun. It was entertaining. And, you know, I think that was probably one of the biggest challenges for sure.
I think there might be more forgiveness now from audiences than ever before in that regard, because like you said, everybody's used to FaceTiming people and Zooming and doing everything else that's not perfect. So it's like, hey, we don't need our media to always be perfect if it's not television.
Yeah, it just looks like everything else. I think there's a little bit more of a real quality to that anyway. You know, everything doesn't have to be so buttoned up and you know, we're real people and we make mistakes. We don't make, you know, it's just, but to have all that out there in a real way, I think is people appreciate that a lot.
Can I tell you guys, this is why I like Bob Dylan. He doesn't sound perfect, I'm telling you.
I've never brought
Bob Dylan up on this show. This is the first time ever I'm bringing him. I'm breaking my silence.
So wait. So you like Bob Dylan because it was a lead into the imperfection of the pandemic?
No, I like it because it's so real, and that's the whole point. Is you feel like it's like somebody really spilling their heart out there. That's
you're
like
man, that sounded awful, but that was so real.
that was so real.
So real. You know, my favorite part.
Please.
No, I was going to say my favorite part of the pandemic progression as it relates to media is like, as soon as the quarantine started, everyone was like in their bathrobes, like even like in the news, they're like whatever, like nobody cares. Like, and then it's like slowly gotten back to where like people are starting to like dress up at least a little bit, like trying to get their like backgrounds. But at first it was just like, man, I don't know. Like on the news, they're like, things are bad. What do you want?
You're never getting a haircut.
Yeah, I know. They were like, the social contract was just signed that we were, it's like everyone just gives up. We don't care.
I'm just stoked. Polished and perfect were never really on the table for me. So everything's been brought to my level, and I feel very comfortable these days.
It's
all good. It's business as usual for you, huh?
Exactly. You can tell by the shirt. Like my approach is a little loose, I think.
I have a confession. When we were on the Zoom call with Michael Malone the other day, usually when you hop on those things, you pick if your mic is on and if your video is on. So I just assumed my video would be off for this thing. And I had a Timberwolves shirt on. Just like, so when I clicked on there and I was
Wait,
what? I was like, oh, God, hold on. It was a little panic, yeah.
Hold on, let's dig into that a little bit. What?
this was like 5 years ago. I used to just buy, I think I had a rule where I'd buy 3 new t-shirts every NBA season, and it would be 3 random teams, just still I had a full collection. So I probably have like 15 different NBA teams. Most of them are like pajamas now, you know, but...
We got those sweet shirts in Portland last year, and I haven't been able to wear them, but the pandemic, I've been busting out.
what a strange rule for yourself, I have to say.
I love the NBA. What can I say?
Chris, obviously no one...
It's about basketball.
Yeah. Exactly.
Obviously no one has seen much of anyone, but have you gotten to spend any time talking to the players outside of those kind of shared media calls? Do you have any sense of just the collective mindset and how excited they are to get after it?
Only the ones that we were able to get on the Sports Social Show. So that was only maybe a handful. And then Katie did a few more on the Nuggets Happy Hours. So that's really the only interaction that we've had with the players, you know, in an in-depth way. And it seems like that they were all in good spirits and ready, you know, ready to play. A few of them had, you know, like gym arrangements. I mean, Michael Porter Jr. had a gym arrangement in Columbia, in Missouri, where he went back to Missouri. So, you know, a couple of them were able to just, you know, really get in there and improve their game and get themselves in really good shape. So so that was good. But I do know, you know, from what I'm hearing, I mean, they're all really ready to play, you know, outside of some of the other concerns, you know, whether it be socially or COVID-wise. You know, this team is, you know, they felt like they were, well, they weren't in a fantastic space when the season was suspended, but
they felt like
they were one of the better teams and want to get back to that.
It's weird going back to that, because you say that, because it's true. I felt like the month of January and the early part of February was maybe the most positive portion of the season. The All-Star break happened, and then to your point, there was a little bit of kind of, it felt like clunkiness kind of getting to go. But it was March, you know, or it was early. There was so much time that you almost completely throw that out, except for that's how the season ended. So it just lingers, and it almost feels like. So you just said that when they ended, it maybe wasn't the best. Do you feel like that matters at all, or is that so far long ago that it literally doesn't make any difference now?
I think it matters. I do.
Okay.
Because, you know, I think it's going to be obviously hard to predict what any of these teams are going to actually look like just because the layoff has been so long. But the last time we saw any of these teams, what were they doing? And for the Nuggets, they were busy going 5-5 in 10 games, and defensively was rickety, and turnovers were just by the boatloads. And so, I think you have to remember where you came from in that respect, because those things cannot possibly happen in Orlando if what you're saying you want to do is win an NBA championship. And so, I don't think they should dwell on it, but the turnover thing wasn't new. You know, that's something that's kind of been in and out part of their personality for a long time now. So they have to get that addressed.
To me, it seems like a possibly much needed break for two of Denver's best and most important players. Jamal Murray physically, who was, of course, banged up, never really got right after that collision with Ben Simmons. To my understanding, he gets an extended break now. And Jokic, who mentally had to enter playoff mode there for a couple of months. But, you know, the seven in Utah being sort of the peak of what was really a nadir in terms of, like, physical health of the team, how with it everyone was mentally. And he went into, like, a Super Saiyan mode, you know. And we could see by the end of the regular season that he was really kind of starting to seem a little grinded down, a little withered down. And so for him, maybe a much-needed mental break, and he can enter the playoffs back in that mentality.
Well, and also you have guys like Paul Millsap, who's basically managing himself over the course of the season, so he gets to, you know, fully come back, you know, however, you know, how good ever good he's feeling. You have Michael Porter Jr., who basically right out, you know, and I know in our interview basically admitted to saying, hey, listen, my ankle was hurting so bad that I just couldn't, you know, be myself out there on the basketball court. So he comes back fully healthy, and you know, the I think the players that I would worry is too strong of a word, but we'll just use it. Are the ones who maybe started slow, started to really figure it out, and now what do you do after 3 months of a layoff? And Gary Harris would be right at the top of that list. I mean, that guy was shooting over 50% from the field and the three-point line in those 10 games after the All-Star break, after starting off super slow. So can he recreate that in any real way, you know, in Orlando?
That's a great point and a great question. It wouldn't be a DNVR Nuggets podcast if I didn't take some time to talk about Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. We've talked a lot about various different kinds of Breck brews, the Vanilla Porter Jr., the Mile High City, the Strawberry Sky. Well, you can try a bunch of them at once right now. We're really pushing this Breckenridge Brewery 15-can sampler pack, or as fans of the show know, we like to call it the Jokic Pack. 15 beers, the Vanilla Porter Jr., the Hot Peak IPA, the Avalanche Amber Ale, Strawberry Sky, and the Copper Lager. So check that out. Use the Breck Beer Locator if you're not sure where to get it. Or you can just order from them directly. But Breck Brewery, official beer of DNVR, and if we're keeping it real, it's some damn good beer. Check them out. And hey, it's not just a holiday weekend coming up. It's a tournament weekend on WGT Golf. World Golf Tour at DNVR. This weekend, please join us as we celebrate our first holiday on the course together. It's time for the Fours of July, a best of par fours tournament. Entry begins on Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. To download it, head to thednvr.com/WGT Golf. You can find that on our website as well, that link. If you have not joined yet, what you want to do is once you've signed up, once you've downloaded the app, you want to search for our country club. Search DNVR2. We've had some overflow. Our first clubhouse is full already. So search DNVR2, same tournament, same entry process, same prizes. It mirrors that first clubhouse. And that's how you'll enter on Saturday. So give it a shot. Post your high score. Talk some trash. See if you can beat Mars and Wynn. They think they're good. Wynn's pretty good. Adam's good. He's not quite as good as he thinks he is. But he's a threat every time. So post your score. See how you do. It should be a good time. So we will talk a little more about the Nuggets specifically here later on in the show, but we do have to get to a little bit of news, guys. Just an hour ago, Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted, this is a Jackie McMullen report, though. My tweet's messed up. Just an hour ago, Woj tweeted, after a positive test for the coronavirus in the Los Angeles Clippers traveling party headed to Orlando next week, the organization has closed its practice facility to players and staff as a precaution today. Sources tell ESPN. So, Chris, obviously we know the Nuggets went through the same thing this week. Does this news sort of change your perspective at all on the bubble? We've been asking all of our guests that. Again, the NBA also kind of planned for this and built this time period in. So what's your perspective on this?
Yeah, it's hard to know. The NBA did, you know, this is the buffer time for this kind of stuff to happen, and then still teams to get down there. And then, quite frankly, you have 20 days down in Orlando for maybe even something else to happen and to get players or staff healthy before play actually begins. You know, you contrast that with the MLS, and you have this the Dallas FC team, like nine players after they got to Orlando tested positive. Well, guess what? They play in a week. So, you know, that's it's tough. So I think the NBA built some of this in. I think what they do not want to happen is all this testing to happen this week, get these teams on a plane and then get them down to Orlando, then all of a sudden you start popping up with more positive tests right when you're supposed to say, we're healthy, we're in a bubble, and now we're good.
Yeah.
I think that they wouldn't want that, but if it does happen, they do have some time to figure it out. You know, I this was never going to be an exact science. And, you know, I'm crossing my fingers that what doesn't happen is that, you know, there are enough significant COVID-related missed games that you start altering, you know, what the picture of what might happen in terms of who should be winning, which teams are actually better versus who's actually winning the games anyway. So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. But I think these teams are doing the right thing. You know, let's just shut it down and then just get on a plane. Get your people healthy. Get on a plane. You're not, these aren't real practices anyway.
I was just gonna ask you that, man. If you think that this missed time it really matters, given the nature of what those practices would have been.
No, you're getting shots up. That's I mean, you might listen. There might be some conditioning involved, obviously, but so what? Again, you have 20 days when you get down to Orlando to continue conditioning and then be practicing 5-on-5 as well. So. No, I don't think these matter at all. The time that they miss here at all. That's why these teams are so, it's so easy for them to close it down because, you know, it's, this is just extra work.
I think the toughest, maybe not the toughest, but one of the toughest sort of segments of this entire bubble is going to be next Tuesday through Thursday. The first 48 hours there in which all the players and coaching staff, everybody there has to stay in their rooms for 2 days. It's like, that's also part of the protocol. And I think perhaps different from what the MLS is doing. So when everybody arrives, if somebody is positive that has not yet been tested, they get 2 days inside the bubble by themselves before they can kind of, I think those 2 days are going to be really tough. That's, I don't want to like go overboard here, but being alone in your hotel room for two full days is That's tough.
Well, think about where we entered this program today, and that was talking about, hey, how's quarantine treating you? And this is 3 months, and we're able to at least move around a little,
right?
Even if you can't go and necessarily always go in a restaurant, but you know, that is different.
Yeah.
Stay right here in this one spot, and you know, no matter how luxurious the rooms are, and they will be luxurious, it's still a confined space. And then not only that, then how do you do that, replicate that over, you know, to whatever degree over months, weeks, and then months? I don't know where you guys feel about this, but I think that's, I do think every player and coach that has said, this might, forget the asterisks, this might be one of the toughest championships ever to win, I don't necessarily disagree with that. I don't know what you guys think.
Where's the lie, exactly? No, I 100% think it's going to be the hardest. When people talk about asterisks, I think what people are really saying is that the outcome is probably or has a great chance of being different from what it would have been before. But to your point, everybody's equal in this. There's not like, well, it's different. An asterisk to me means, oh, so-and-so got hurt and this other team won and they might not have happened. In this scenario, everybody's starting at least on an even playing field, really, really tough. Almost impossible circumstances, and they all have to endure it. So I understand both sides of that argument, but I do agree that it's going to be it's going to be incredibly hard.
To me, asterisk doesn't mean less than, it just means different. It's like you should evaluate this differently than you are all the wins around it for whatever reason. I don't know, it could be easier if you're just like forced to focus on basketball. Maybe there's something about that, like just being able to drown out the other. I mean, I don't know.
I think it would have the opposite effect.
It's possible. I'm not saying one way. It's just like, obviously, there's just no way to actually understand what this is like unless you're in it. And nobody's ever done anything like this. I'm very, very interested to see like what the actual basketball looks like, if it feels like NBA basketball, if it looks like, you know, like a weird stripped down summer league, like. Mm-hmm. You know, like if it's weird, if you just hear the squeaks on the floor and stuff, like, I don't know what to make of any of it. Like, I mean, I obviously cannot wait until it starts, but.
Well, speaking of summer league, if you think bubble number one is going to be a little weird, I've got some news for you guys. So the original tweet I referenced, this is a Jackie McMullen report, which is not on Twitter. Woj put it out there. The NBA is closing in on signing off on a second bubble, end quote, in Chicago. For the 8 teams that were not invited to play in Orlando, enabling mini training camps and subsequent games against other clubs with a target date of September. Seven of the 8 non-playoff teams participated in a call Thursday with league officials. The Knicks were the lone team to not be represented on that call.
And are we surprised about that?
They're interviewing head coaching candidates, and they have enough time with doing that when it's the only thing on their plate. It's hard enough for them. But on that call, the league sought assurances from those teams that they will send their players if the league moves forward with this bubble format. Chris, just what? Open floor general reaction to the idea of an additional bubble.
It's too many bubbles.
So many bubbles.
One bubble was pushing it.
Yeah,
one bubble was pushing it. We're gonna need two. For the teams, I wonder what the teams. There's two things. One is the TV money, and there's still that out there that they want to be able to get some piece of that pie as well. So I get it from that standpoint. Outside of that, the only other thing that I think makes halfway a little bit of sense is if these teams played nothing until December, then their last game would have been in March.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Such a long time to not play basketball. You have to play some sort of competitive basketball in the meantime. So maybe getting a little bit in. But if you're the Golden State Warriors and you're Steph Curry, do you want to play this?
Oh, right.
You do not want to play this. You know, if you're the Atlanta Hawks, maybe you do want to play in this because maybe you just want to get your guys some run. Generally, I think, I get why they're doing it. I understand money continues to be the driving force of everything. And you want to get your guys some work, but it just seems like it's too many bubbles.
Is there money in the second bubble? Adam Silver talked about how the first bubble wasn't necessarily as profitable as people thought.
Well, it wouldn't be the same type of money, but it wouldn't be zero. And that's, these games that they'll play will be broadcast somewhere. Obviously, the ratings will be, but they're not getting money off ratings. They're just getting money off them being on television, period. So, there will be, it just won't be a total loss, which is what some of these don't want to have to absorb.
Back to the Nuggets in 2016, so you had Jokic for one season and he kind of surprised everybody. You know, you didn't know he was the cornerstone then. And then if you had to go 10 months without playing Moutier and Jamal Murray and all of the guys that you had acquired, you had to go that long without it. I think the entire thing would have unfolded completely differently. Whereas if you were to have sort of this bubble, this bubble idea at that point, maybe the Nurkic-Jokic experiment happens in that time and you get data points and you say, okay, and then you move on. So for me, I don't think it's going to be universally beneficial to every team that goes, but I do imagine if you were a young team and you really don't know what you have in your players, even just four games inside of a bubble will really help you to evaluate and move forward and make decisions. So from that regard, I think it probably helps a little tiny bit, but not doing it, I think, would have hurt a whole lot because the 10-month break is just so long.
I mean, not doing it certainly would have been less than ideal, but it's still hard to look at this as like a viable solution. I mean, it certainly makes it harder for them to market bubble number one as sports are important and sports matter. It makes it harder because this isn't the safest possible plan, right? This is, of course, some middle ground that enables them to tap into some of that lost money. Any additional bubbles is just involving more people than needs to be involved, which is inherently risky. And also, man, if players are having a hard enough time deciding if they want to go to this first bubble and compete for a title, I mean, what impending free agents or guys dealing with injuries or people who are just generally unsure of how to play this, who's going to go to this?
Yeah, it seems like opt-out central, right?
Right. That's what I would.
This is like that. It's like the NBA NIT that they're putting in. Like,
yeah.
Exactly.
Go ahead. Yeah. No, you're right about that. You're right about that. I wouldn't expect, I wouldn't expect veterans. But if you have young players that you want to continue to develop, this is a nice little. At least you can get other competition. Other NBA players on the court. And get them some experience that way while, as Adam remarks, getting them a little bit, seeing what you have, a little bit more of what you have.
Summer. It's like Summer League 2, right? The Electric Boogaloo.
I even think that the idea is that the format is going to be like Summer League. Play would be similar to Summer League format, the specific parameters still being
discussed. I hope they get 10 fouls.
Yes. 10,000 is the greatest part of Summer League. Yeah.
You know what? I hope they continue the tradition of putting people in hotel rooms based on seating, and that you get we need a Grand Destino in wherever the bubble's going.
Only it can't
be as nice as the Grand Destino in the yacht club. It has to be those ones, even. So like,
that's true.
And the Knicks
you can't
just
find
like
yourself in
to,
a better situation.
The Knicks just have to camp somewhere downtown. Like just weren't even on the call. So
it'll be like the Drake and then like Prospect Park. Like those are the
two. Arby's.
So no Harrison, so no live reads tonight. We'll do those in post. But we do, Eric, have to get to our DraftKings pick of the week.
I can't wait.
Are you ready to tell the people what to do with their money?
Yeah, absolutely. First off, I mean, what better way to spend your money than to have me tell you exactly what to do?
That's what I always say.
This is the best way. I mean, just in life in general. I have other tips, but specifically when it comes to how you might bet it on the DraftKings Sportsbook, we've got an odds boost this weekend for Joey Chestnut.
Lose.
Joey Chestnut, lauded hero of America.
American hero.
Champion. Yep. Hot dog eating phenom. Is going to obviously be in the competition. He's obviously going to win the competition. The question is, can Joey Chestnut eat more than 74 hot dogs?
Which should not be a question on the table for
in
anyone.
An amount of, and I literally don't even know the time period, but like I said before, 74 hot dogs for me, one calendar year is the amount of time that
I don't even come close to it in one calendar year.
What's the most he's ever eaten? Do we know?
74.
72. Is that right? Let me see.
Yeah,
here. 74. So,
back in 2008. See, somebody did their research for this.
Yeah, I'm about to fact check.
Somebody left no stone unturned for the hot dog.
Oh, hold on here.
2018, he got 74. Last year, though, he slipped up a little bit. Only 71.
So the real question here.
Prime. I don't know.
The real question here is Joey Chestnut still in his prime? Can he push?
Yeah.
Himself, right.
See,
beyond.
That's the question.
Two things. Yeah, this is the question for you, Chris. So if you have 5 to 10 minutes on this, no, I'm just kidding. So here's my theory. Here's my take. America needs Joey Chestnut now more than ever, and he's gonna deliver. He's gonna deliver 78 hot dogs.
I was gonna say of all the things as a society we have reevaluated their importance during this time, like I'm glad that the hot dog eating contest like
still
no,
happening.
Essential. Gotta have it.
Well, so let's go. So what are you guys, where are you guys? Are you above 74 American hero or American
below.
Disappointment? Joey Chestnut does not hit 74 vote.
I'm below.
What do you think? You said 78.
Above.
Chris.
I'm filled with hope this evening.
What do we got here?
I'm going 70. I'm going.
Well below. Yeah. Well, there's a bet for you as well. You just don't get the odds boost from DraftKings, but you can still make money.
I did buy DraftKings stock. So,
there you go.
That is
all right.
That's
nice.
Something I will make.
Yeah, hot fire.
Friend of DNVR after all.
Yeah, I think I might bang that under. I don't feel good about it. I think Joey Chestnut's best days have passed him. I think he'll just start eating food in normal quantities again, sadly.
This is like, I don't want to hear it, and I don't believe it.
This is like when Jordan hit 69 points in the playoff, and then it was like, the over-under for the next game is also 69. Like, come on, man. Like, He might have 55, but I don't know if we're going back world records here.
When I look into Joey Chestnut's eyes, I see something that Michael Jordan didn't have. So
sodium?
The over-under is his career high.
Not only is it his career high, it's a
world, the world high.
Wait, so
the world high.
Is the pick of the week smash the under? Is that what we're saying?
No human has ever eaten this many hot dogs in the amount of time that I don't know what it is because I didn't research it.
These days, the sports landscape is constantly evolving, and this week is no different. Luckily for all of us sports fans, DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, has us covered. For a limited time, DraftKings Sportsbook is offering a sign-up bonus of up to $1,000. This week is full of action, from golf to European soccer, and DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Head to the app now and check out the special odds and promotions that will be available throughout the week to help you make it rain. DraftKings Sportsbook is a US-based, making it safe, secure, and reliable. It's not like those sketchy offshore betting companies that you may or may not have used in the past that I may or may not have used myself. This is safe, this is secure, this is reliable. Plus, it's easy to deposit and withdraw your funds whenever you want. to top it all off, DraftKings Sportsbook is offering their best sign-up offer to date right now. You do not want to miss this. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code DNVR when you sign up. That's code DNVR to get your sign-up bonus of up to $1,000 only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and first bet match, each up to $500. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. All right, we pivot now to the real reason we've all convened. The meat on the bone of tonight's show. An open-ended question. What do you miss most about the Denver Nuggets? Chris, I don't know if this is putting you on the spot, but I'll go to you first since you're our guest.
What do I miss most about the Denver Nuggets? Maybe it's just watching they play such a unique style of basketball. I really love their offense. You know, I really just from a just aesthetically, like yeah. I just think it's really a beautiful offense. So in that respect, I guess I miss Nikola Jokic. I miss the pick and roll. I miss the
more than anything
interchangeable, basically two man action. I have a lot of fun watching their offense. I have a lot of fun watching it back on film. So I miss that maybe the most.
Eric, yeah. What about you, brother?
Well, as you know, the Nuggets are central in my universe in a way that's probably unhealthy. Not as unhealthy as eating 74 hot dogs in an undetermined amount of time.
Probably true.
But I do miss I miss hopping on my personal electric scooter, puttering on down to the Pepsi Center, getting a pizza and then a beer in an aluminum cup that I take home every time. And then I just sit and I boo Nurkic. It doesn't even have to be Nurkic. It can be whoever the,
he looks
the
great,
person
by the
on
way.
The
video of him. He looks very thin.
I don't want to know that.
I know I'm stealing your spotlight here, Eric, but can I tell you, there's so many athletes that look great right now.
I know.
Zion looks real good.
Yeah, opposite about Zion, of 99, where, yeah, Zion looked like a Terminator. Like, everybody looks like they're in the best shape of their life. It's crazy.
Zion looks phenomenal. I mean, there were like delts there and everything. I was like, oh, my God.
I love that we were surprised. He's like 20 or whatever.
His neck was like the strongest neck I've ever seen.
But I'll say this, because there's a lot of, right about the time that, there was a lot of spotlight on Nikola Jokic in terms of his conditioning and shape. I was having this discussion with somebody, and I said, the thing about it is there's going to be a lot of athletes that have leaned down stories because you have no access to super heavy weights in a gym. Teams are sending, equipment home or
Peloton bikes.
Equipment to the, it's like exercise bikes and bands and what, yes. Ridiculous.
Look at that. Yo, he looks like a superhero.
Yeah, he looks like
he really
Bane,
does.
Dude.
That's crazy. Even me, like I only have 10 pound weights here. So what are you
I don't
doing
believe
with
you.
You all you can
yeah,
do
you
is
look,
slim
you
down.
Look, you look, 30 you at look least, deflate. But. Yeah, you look deflated and you just very small, Chris. Just, you need to get these bigger weights.
I have lost 6 pounds myself.
Oh, wow. That's a tough time.
Body weight workouts, they're great. I love them. They're actually changing the way that I'm going to work out even after all this is over. But it's not going to put weight on you.
Yeah.
And so you're going to have a lot of.
It really is. Yeah. It's like,
oh, wow.
James Harden is another guy, who's, but so I think we're just going to see a bunch of slim down NBA players. I don't think that that's what it's going to, I think exactly that's what's going
to
be.
Yeah. Which is a great sort of prism to view the skinny Jokic thing through, because I think the sort of counter to this being good news is maybe he needs that weight to throw around and push guys around. It seems
but
like
also,
we might
I don't
be.
Think he lost that much weight.
Really?
Wow! The
oh, from when we saw him last.
That's
from when
hottest.
We saw him last.
This is a five pepper take right here.
Yes, I don't.
Wow.
So the last time we saw him was in Dallas.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
He was
okay.
Probably 285, 280.
Oh, I got you. Okay,
he's
yeah.
In really good shape.
He was already on his way. Yeah, exactly. Take the peppers
it's not,
off.
It's not that hot of a take.
Yeah.
If he lost 10 pounds, okay.
Right.
But he was in really good shape when we last saw him. So.
Everybody's contrasting the pictures in Serbia to the that. And by the way, his media day picture, he was overweight. There's no question. But he was also sitting in that chair, kind of like in the perfect way. He was heavy. He was overweight. I'm not.
It was a tough angle, but he was also 300 pounds.
It was a tough angle, well, a tough angle of his fat.
Several tough angle photos of him.
Remember, over the course of the season, he had lost 20 pounds.
Of course, right. Yep. At least. Yeah.
So easy.
If he loses enough, see, that's why it couldn't be, wow, he lost so much weight, because geez, if he lost 15 or 20 more pounds off of that,
yeah,
a 40-pound loss from the start of the season, that's not what this is.
He looked pretty crazy in those vids. I don't know.
I mean, it probably couldn't be any more than 10 from the last time we saw him.
And if your theory is true, Chris, that we're going to see a lot of lean guys coming back, then
yeah,
doesn't matter, right, that he lost 10 pounds. So.
Well, not for the most part, you know. I mean,
yeah. Ooh, look at this graphic.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that media day is rough.
Look at Mark. She is looking great.
Yeah.
That that straight on angle is pretty rough on media day.
I'm not saying he was skinny on media day. I'm just saying the one photo was like everything came together to make the perfect terrible photo.
It's a very unflattering directly in front of him shot.
What do I miss most about the Nuggets season? Trying to see the scale when Jokic steps on. Just trying to get a peek.
So weird.
Our job is very weird.
Yeah, you guys are never going back.
On Twitter, you said something like, the weight loss wasn't the biggest surprise to you. It was his wardrobe.
Yeah,
strong agree. Strong agree.
That's what I was thinking.
Looking great.
Skinny jeans.
This is such a Bob Dylan take.
Kind of guy, so,
for sure.
He looked great.
Yeah, it is. You know, though, when you get like maybe a new pair of shoes or a new suit, just where you have like something brand new and you're kind of like got a little strut to you or whatever. Like was totally, he was in that place just kind of like, he had so much energy. He was floating.
Yeah. I recognize that. I relate to that. That's that my first shopping trip in 2 years.
Yeah.
Three. Oh, like, oh, I forgot baby. About this. Maybe oh, I should.
Baby.
You're like, these watermelons are new.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. What I miss most, guys, when watching any sport team, I think my favorite part is sometimes you catch these moments live where it was like, man, you had to have been there. You had to have been there either in the building or watching live. And then we love to go to our respective communities and kind of live it up together. With the Nuggets, I think that's really compounded and magnified by the fact that that might literally be true. No one else is watching. And so there are these moments, like I think of the MPJ game in Indiana, and I think of the 7 in Utah. And to me, there is a loose, vague thing that they have in common, which is just that feeling of, I am so damn lucky that I sat down to watch this game or attended this game live tonight.
Mm-hmm. There's something, too, like people always talk about the NBA. They're like, oh, you know, there's games in February. There's 80 games. I'm like, there's 80 games.
Yeah,
there's some in February. That's amazing. I wish there was one every night. Like, they're never boring to me.
I'm so glad you brought this up, because this is my biggest point. When people talk about shortening the season because guys do this or that, I'm always like, it makes sense if you want it to be like these guys at the top playing their hardest for whatever 60 games. But I'm like, do we really want to get rid of 22 games? I love games.
No.
They're awesome. No. Yeah, people get into this weird thing where they act like the only reason to play the NBA season is to determine the champion.
Yeah.
As though being entertained along the way possesses no value. Like, it's only like we own, like, that the NBA must determine the champion is our, it is the right of the NBA, the reason for the NBA. It's like, no, the NBA is like here to entertain us, and then that, whatever. So, bring back the NBA. I miss it.
I do too. No, I totally agree with that take. You know, it's, you know, there are so many good moments over the course of the season. I mean,
the best.
Brady, you're just talking about a couple of them. I mean, you know, the Magnificent Seven in Utah was ridiculous.
All-timer.
All-time moment, right?
Hitting 22 three-pointers in Milwaukee after having arrived at 4:30 in the morning.
Oh, man.
So you know, true.
There are these...
The Philly comeback?
That shot.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but yeah, no, I completely agree, man. Those moments are what it's all about for me. All right, well, let's move on. It seems like a natural transition.
Why are you surprised? You're the one that stopped it.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm the host. I'm in full control of this. We're going to move to a brief discussion, guys, about one of my favorite stories of the year. I'm going to read a short excerpt from a Sports Illustrated article written by Nick Selby. Jonathan Irons, man helped by Maya Moore after wrongful conviction, freed from prison. After serving more than 20 years in prison for a crime he did not commit, Jonathan Irons was finally released on Wednesday. Irons, 40 years old, was serving a 50-year sentence on charges of burglary and assault for a crime that took place when he was 16 years old. His case for a retrial and eventual overturned conviction was aided by WNBA star Maya Moore. Maya walked away from her playing career in 2019 to dedicate her time to prison ministry work. In January, she announced she'd be skipping the 2020 season
to focus on
criminal justice reform. So, I mean, I just mostly want to start by saying this is one of my favorite stories of all time. And as a younger fan of sports, I really struggle to find examples as I search for anything that really compares to this. So to my understanding, Maya Moore was not just at her peak, but arguably the best woman's player alive, one of the best players on the planet.
Yes.
And as we have a league full of players that are contemplating putting off a postseason to be about something bigger than themselves and bigger than basketball, I feel we just have to take some time to appreciate this woman who did that, who put her money where her mouth is and then some. And I don't know about you guys, but I mean, I can't even fathom what it would be like if LeBron, for example, were to do something like this.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, this is big time. I mean, that's just all there is to it. And, you know, Maya Moore, I remember last year, the reports when she was saying that she wasn't going to come back. At first she was thinking about it, and then it was full on. Listen, she has a different calling, and she was going to follow that. And to see this be, you know, the outcome or one of the outcomes of that is amazing. And when you're talking about doing making a difference, you know, this is what that looks like. And it's identifying what you need to identify. Then it's nonstop working until you get to that, until you get to that goal, to that conclusion, to that solution. You know, it's not all going to be as, you know, as flashy as this is. And for her, I'm sure that is, she's not thinking of it that way. I mean, there's a lot of hard work, probably many nights where she thought, I don't know if this is ever going to happen to get to this outcome. But yeah, this is what you're talking about when you're talking about working. And this is what some of the players are talking about. And this is why I couldn't be mad at even when Kyrie Irving and
Avery Bradley,
Dwight Howard. So, you know, basically it held the big Zoom call with over 100 players and basically just raised the issue. Hey, do we really want to do this? Do you really want to go down? Do you really want to get back into your community and see what you can do? It was a worthwhile question to be asked, and it was a worthwhile subject to be vetted out among them.
Well said.
Because, you know, there are issues. There are, you know, things that you want to get done in your community, and are you going to be able to do them? So, Maya Moore, wow. You know, it's just a wow moment. And, you know, I know these guys are looking to do similar things. And so we'll just see how that all plays itself out.
Yeah. Do we know what is the relationship there? Like, why did Maya Moore get involved in this specific?
She just knew about the case, you know, and I see. It was just as simple as this guy was wrongfully incarcerated and he was there for years.
Yeah, years.
Nobody was fighting for him, or very few people. I didn't see nobody, obviously. That's probably not true.
And she comes from a family with a fairly deep involvement in prison ministry, so this is a world and environment she's familiar with.
So this was just like, it was just the case itself that compelled her. It wasn't like she had some sort of like familial connection or anything. It just interesting. Yeah.
Just want to do right by this guy, and she was able to do that.
Yeah, it's just incredible. I mean, the conversation about what we can expect from athletes and what obligations they have to me is a really interesting one. The latter, I've never really been comfortable with attaching that word. But to me, the lack of an obligation makes the action itself all the more commendable, right? I mean, Maya Moore did not have to do this. We don't have, we should not expect this from any athlete, but that she went out of her way to do it speaks volumes in a way that it's just hard to articulate. So definitely wanted to take some time to shout that out.
Yeah. So to pick up on your point here, each athlete has to decide for him or herself exactly what their contribution is going to be. And, you know, listen, some people want to do what Maya Moore did. Some people want to help people to vote. Well, it doesn't matter what the issue, it doesn't matter how small, just do something.
Yeah.
And find what it is that you, however it is that you can contribute, and then contribute that to the cause. And so, you know, for each of these individual athletes, they're going to have to figure that out for themselves, and then act upon what moves them, what moves their heart, and get those things done to whatever degree.
Yeah, it's remarkable.
Well said. It's not about talking about it. It's about being about it. So really commendable stuff. We will now take it in a very, very different direction, this show.
Chris. Yes. Another hard left. All right.
Another hard left. It's really hard without the ad breaks. Like, the rundown looks good. I didn't think about it.
Do you want to give me, like, a little, like, happy music here?
Let's get a little palate cleanser here.
I believe we have a couple contestants ready to play the Steps. Chris, if you're not familiar, the Steps, it's the hottest game show sweeping the nation.
How could he not be familiar?
We're going to have
one of our
one of our great DNVR members is going to hop on the show. We're going to run them through a gauntlet, a Denver Nuggets trivia, NBA trivia gauntlet. They're going to have you there as a helper. So if you know the answer, you chime in. You make sure they know. Don't let them screw up. It's a lot of responsibility.
This loss or this win is on you. You should know.
Yeah, I know.
I took it on the chin. I led one of our longtime members astray last night, and I could not fall asleep for up to 1 minute, and then I fell right asleep and I thought about it.
So we do have a new contestant, Jordan. I see you back there. We do have a brand new contestant, I believe, brand new contestant here in Corbin. So Corbin,
hello,
hey Corbin. Oh, we know Corbin from the watch parties. How you doing?
Yes,
brother?
I'm good. How are you all?
Doing all right.
Awesome. I'm trying to read your shirt. What's your shirt say?
Oh, it's Injury Reserves Arena Tour.
Nice.
Rest in peace to Steppa J. He passed away yesterday.
That's right. That's right. Okay. R.I.P.
There you go.
Where are you calling us from tonight, Corbin?
Platte Park.
Yes. Oh, nice.
All right. Denver, baby.
Yes, indeed.
Southside.
Corbin, I know you've never been on the show, participated in the Steps before. Nice. Nice flex, too. That's a nice view. but are you familiar with it? Are you ready to go? Ready to dive into this thing?
A quick once over wouldn't be a bad idea.
You just got to answer questions, bro.
Just trivia, man. Pretty straightforward. You'll have Chris as your helper. You can go to him. It doesn't have to be clues. He can give you the answer explicitly.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, quick question. How long have you been a Denver Nuggets fan?
I was a very casual Denver Nuggets fan, starting roughly in the Carmelo era.
Okay.
All right.
And then I dropped off with Brian Shaw, as I'm sure a lot of us did.
Okay. Listen,
for yourself, bro. Speak for yourself, bro.
If it goes off the rails, just go ahead and blame it on Dempsey.
No, actually, blame it on me. And if you lose, just blame it on me. We did a Nuggets trivia segment on Sports Social maybe yesterday. It was a little dicey, so if
you know what the greatest part is, that Harrison wrote these questions and he's not here to deliver them. So we'll find out where Harrison's mindset is. If he likes, if he's into acceptance or chaos.
Well, my favorite is the first question today is actually when you have to have been watching the show recently for. So I'm very excited to go right in.
Let's go.
We have Jordan backstage. I'm going to allow Jordan to help out. Should we be in a pickle? I'm going to allow him to help out today. We'll say through the first five.
Well, Adam, I'm glad you have the questions up, because as is customary for when I host, I forgot to do that. So are you ready to take
it? The nervous music is on.
Oh, the music begins.
Let's climb the steps. Question number one. What brand of stationary bike has Harrison been riding over the last 2 weeks?
The Peloton Prince.
Prince, baby. Yeah. Okay.
He gets extra points for knowing the Prince.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's a heck of a pull. All right, question number two. What is the name of the area at Pepsi Center where DNVR members meet up during halftime of Denver Nuggets games?
Oh, gosh. It's on the concourse, section 1.
Oh, yeah.
That's like more
impressive. Yeah, it's the concourse. But I forget what the actual term is, but yeah, it's down on the first
Jordan,
floor of the concourse.
Jordan, help this man out.
Jordan, help him
the
out.
The patio.
No, Jordan.
Perch. Oh, yeah, the perch.
That is correct.
Did you know this one, Dempsey? Did you know this?
I didn't know that one, so that's news to me. So yeah,
there you go.
We'll see you at the perch, bro. Pretty soon.
We invite you, but you're usually doing TV or something.
The perch is correct. Question number three. What natural disaster? Jeez, Harrison. What natural disaster canceled the Nuggets Summer League opener last July? Was it A, a flood, B, a sandstorm, or C, an earthquake?
I think it was a flood.
No. You can go. Dempsey's over here trying to hop. Yeah, you hop in.
Just tell him, Demps. No, you know this is what you're for.
Oh, you know, it was the earthquake. Yeah.
Final answer?
Yeah.
Man, Dempsey, man. Great save right there. Incredible. That is
he was going over the edge, reached and grabbed him.
Number four. What point guard wore number 0 for the Nuggets last season?
Oh, yeah.
Is number 4?
Number 4. This is an easy one. Come on.
Was it Lyles?
Let me read the question again. What point guard?
Oh, point guard.
Wore number 0 for the Nuggets last season. Dempsey's stuck too. I love it.
That's a good question right there.
I love it.
Oh, man.
You know, I don't think this is that easy.
This is kind of tough.
No, it's not.
I mean, remember, no using computers or phones or IT or any type of technology. No IT. No phones.
Come on.
No IT. No internet.
I don't got it. Sorry.
No. You can't use IT or Isaiah Thomas or.
IT. Yeah, Isaiah. The wonderful yet short-lived Isaiah Thomas.
Let's go. What a genius.
He also doesn't like when you call him short. So.
All right. Number 5. What Nuggets player in 2016 made the second most three-pointers by a freshman in NCAA history, just 9 shy of Steph Curry?
Oh, that's a good question.
This is really
good. Did we lose Corbin is the real question.
We got it. We're back.
Okay.
Sorry.
Do you know this one, Dempsey?
I'd read that one more time.
What Nuggets player back in 2016 made the second most three-pointers by a freshman in NCAA history behind only Steph Curry?
Okay.
Could have been a college freshman.
College freshman.
2016. 15, 16, I suppose.
And then he came and played for the Nuggets. You know, geez, you know, it's funny because
Corbin, you got an idea?
I don't.
Harrison just leaving a wake of fire in his exit.
Yeah,
put some hard ones out here.
Scorched earth on the way out.
I mean, is the answer Jamal Murray?
Ooh. You gotta ask Corbin.
I'll go with Jamal.
That is correct.
Yeah. Let's go.
I was wrong.
Awesome.
Right, he just got. What?
But you got an option here, so Corbin, you can take a sticker pack. We'll mail it to you. You win that, or you can risk it all. Try to get 5 more right and win a T-shirt. What do you want to do?
I'll stop here, but can I ask the next question for fun?
Oh, yeah, I love that.
I like
why
it.
Why not?
What the hell?
Who is Gary Harris's college coach?
Oh, man.
Tom Izzo.
That was number 2.
You would have been one quarter of the way to a shirt if you weren't playing it so close to the chest.
Well, listen, a big congratulations to Corbin, just the second man smart enough not just to get through 5 questions, but to call him the day. Corbin, stick around after the show. We'll grab your details. We'll send that sticker pack to you, brother.
All right.
Thanks to Corbin for hanging out. Big thanks to Chris Dempsey for laying it down. We appreciate the knowledge, brother. Appreciate your time.
We'll make Corbin give you.
Having me. Thank you. I want to come back.
Yeah. We'll make Corbin give you at least 2 of those stickers. There's 5 per sheet, but I mean, you really helped him out there quite a bit.
Hey, man, after that interview, you're welcome back anytime, man. We appreciate it.
Honestly, thanks so much for coming. It was so good to see you, too. Like, it's good through these getting to see and talk to people that we take for granted that we got to see so often. And people don't know this, but and I think you know this, Dempsey, maybe you don't, but literally every single person that covers the Nuggets at Pepsi Center looks up to Chris in one way or another. And I know for me personally,
it's true.
The few times that I have gotten into a pickle over the years, always Dempsey the one that like sets me straight. So it was great to have you on, and Just wanted to say that before we got out.
Yeah, yeah. I really quickly.
That. I appreciate that. I'm just everybody. You know, it's a fun atmosphere, and you know, you can't say that about every media situation.
Yeah, you know? Really quickly, the first time that I met Adam, I met Chris at the exact same time. Obviously, I don't have to tell Chris; he remembers this. But it was the uni reveal at the Denver Performing Arts Center, and I saw Adam talking to Chris, and I inserted myself in the conversation and started talking about uniforms. And obviously, I don't have to tell Chris; he remembers. But it was a great combo.
I remember.
Yeah, no, I know. We all know.
I remember when I met Chris, he was like, "Who is this guy?" That's the end of the story. Hey, thanks so much to Chris.
Then the next time I saw him, who are you again? Yeah,
and we're kind of still there to this day. But I appreciate you coming on. Thanks for hanging out. Thanks to all of you for watching, for laughing, for commenting. We may or may not be coming to you tomorrow with a Friday show. This could be a bang bang play.
Let's find out together.
Take care. Be safe. Stay sane. Lovely.
Singing the end part is my favorite part.
It's the worst.
All right, it's time to talk a little bit about Strava Craft Coffee, the CBD-enriched coffee that has really changed lives. I'm going to go off read here, guys, just talk a little honestly about what Strava's done for me. I live with a lot of anxiety, especially in the mornings, and I need coffee. I need that energy, but it can also sort of exacerbate that anxiety I found. With Strava, with that CBD infusion, really takes the edge off of it, helps me approach the day, not just with energy, but a little more clarity in my thought, clarity of mind, and it helps a lot with physical pain as well, even IBS. So this stuff is huge. I drink coffee every day, as it were. Why not make it Strava? The CBD enrichment makes all the difference in the world. So check it out for yourself today and receive 20% off when you use DNVR20 at checkout, and you'll get it shipped straight to your door. As Strava says, drink deeply and live fully.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course, present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.